Mike. How about that? Love that. Wow. You know, yesterday we had just a great service honoring Pete Knowles, who passed away not long ago. And, you know, God was really working in this place. And I believe that God was touching people's lives yesterday. And so be praying for the family, be praying for their friends. I actually had one of Pete's friends that came up to me. This is such a great testimony. I had to share this today. He comes up to me and he says, I've got to tell you this. So Pete had this plaque by her bed that says, "It's all about me." And she told me years ago, "When I die, I'm going to give you that plaque." He goes, but when she was baptized 3 years ago right here at this church, he says she came to him with the plaque and she goes, "It's not about me anymore." And she handed it to him. And I just thought that was such a cool testimony of this amazing lady. Well, y'all ready for some joy? We're in this series called The Joy-Filled Life. You know, joy makes a difference in your life. You're going to want to apprehend joy. You're going to want to have it. You're going to want to include it in your life. And here's the things that we've learned over the last few weeks. Joy is not based on circumstances. You know, the world will teach you that there's sort of this happiness, and happiness is based on your circumstances. And so when times are good, that's when you're joyful. Look, that's not what the Bible says. And so we're learning that we can have joy even in the toughest days. And so in week one, we learned that joy is an outlook. It's a perspective. Remember, Paul was in jail. He was going through a lot, but yet he still rejoiced in the Lord, and he considered it a joy that his imprisonment was still able to spread the gospel of Jesus. And so joy is an outlook. It's a way of seeing things when we're in Christ, when we put our faith and our trust in him, we have a different outlook. We have a different perspective. And then week two, we learn that joy is an attitude. We learn this because in chapter two, it says to have the attitude of Christ, and it talks about the humility of Christ. It's an attitude of humility. It's an attitude that's humble enough to receive the truth of God. It's no longer resistant to him, right? It's an open attitude of humility. I'm no longer king of my life. He's my king. And it's very receptive. And it's an attitude of serving others. We saw that as well. And so it has this attitude where the arrow no longer points at you, but points outside of you, and it aims at other people. It looks to bless others, and it thinks more now of others. That's the kind of attitude that joy brings. Well, last week we talked and we learned that joy is a confidence. And not a confidence in the flesh, right? Not a confidence in yourself, but it's a strong confidence in God. You know, I have this true and genuine confidence in him. Well, today we're going to talk about joy is a persistence. Joy is a persistence. Let's face it, when we are discouraged, we are less effective. Can we all agree with that? When we're discouraged, we're less effective. I read a book about 2 months ago by Jeff Johnston. He's a pastor in California. And he says when his daughter was in high school, she was in a health class, and they gave her an assignment to bring home, and she had to interview her parents. And so she sits them down, and she asks them this question: what is the most important thing we should do for personal health? And Jeff says, I looked at my daughter, and I said, that's easy. Stay encouraged. And she was like, now, Dad, you know, this is health class. We're talking about physical health here. And he says, I know what you're talking about. But again, it's easy. The hardest thing and the most important thing is to stay encouraged, because if you live with discouragement, you become mentally, emotionally, and physically unhealthy. And everything falls apart if you can't stay encouraged. But he says, here's the key, though. Staying encouraged is going to require walking by faith and not by sight. I hope that you took that down, you wrote that down. This is so true. If you want to stay encouraged, if you want to live a life where you remain encouraged, you're going to have to trust the Lord. You're going to have to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7, it says this, "So we are always of good courage." He goes on and he says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And so to have a joy-filled life, you have to be persistent in this faith. It's absolutely critical that you're consistent with this faith and that you walk by faith, not by sight. Because look, there's a lot of scary things out there, right? That are always pressing in, but here's the thing, they're lies. These scary things, they lie to you. And if you're not careful, they'll lie to you so much to the point where you believe it. And they begin to create these boundaries and these roadblocks in your life. And before you know it, you're just living in fear. You're just living in fear. And the problem is your persistence in this faith can be pretty spotty. It can be, there's always those moments where you forget who you are in Christ and you sort of go astray and you sort of get off track. There's always going to come those times when you quit, and those things that you know are important, you quit on them, and you get off track, you go your own way, you kind of get more self-centered, and you start to live life on your own. I think all of us have found ourselves in situations like that. And look, listen, I mean, just to be honest, there's sometimes when we just go, we willingly rebel against God. Willingly rebel against God. And since none of us are perfect, what do? Well, Paul showed us last week, we put our confidence in the Lord. We put our faith in him. We get back on track, and we walk by faith, not by flesh, right? Not in our human weakness. We just go, Lord, I'm going to trust your power. I'm going to walk by your spirit. I'm going to live by your spirit. I'm going to live by faith, and I'm going to trust your word. I'm going to trust you are who you say you are, and you'll do what you say you'll do, come what may. So keep in mind, in chapter 3, Paul, he's talking about growing and maturing in this faith because it's this faith that puts our confidence in him, and it builds joy. It builds joy because ultimately that's what leads us to the joy. It's a joy-filled life, right? When we live and we walk and we put our confidence in the Lord. So let's go to Philippians chapter 3 and look at verse 12. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Remember, he's talking about growing and maturing in the faith, and he says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ has made me his own." I love this, y'all. I love this. He says, not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect. In other words, I don't have perfect faith. I'm still growing. He's teaching him this. And listen, so are you. You're still growing. We never, on this side of heaven, we're not going to land at perfect maturity. But we're aiming to, right? Jesus says, "Be holy, for I am holy." And so we're aiming at perfection. We know we're not perfect, but we aim to it. We aim to the perfect God, and want to become more and more like him. Not that we'll ever become God, but we want to get so close to him that we become more and more like him, and this world sort of just melts away. That's our aim. And so Paul says, I'm still growing, and it's not that I've already obtained this and not that I'm already perfect, but here's what I do. He says, I press on to make it my own. I press on to make it my own. So the first thing we learned today, and we're talking about joy as a perspective, is we press on. You'll see this on the screen. We press on. Listen, life can be hard, can't it? This family that just lost their loved one, Pete, and we lost a good friend here. We see the hardships of life. We see the loss. Life can be hard. And look, sin and Satan and your flesh and the world are all working against you. And so it's so easy to get derailed, isn't it, in life? But you have to press on. And I like how he puts this. I press on to make it my own. He's talking about growing. He's talking about maturing. And he says, I press on to make that my own. I want to own that. I want to really make this life of faith my own, is what Paul says. And it's funny because he's the teacher here, right? But he's like, I'm still growing. I'm not mature enough yet. And I'm still growing, and I haven't apprehended this. I haven't fully grasped all of it, but I'm still doing this, and I want to make it my own. And let me assure you of something. If you are consistently worshiping and growing and serving, that's why we have this up on the wall here at Bear Creek. We want to aim everyone to it because we know that it's the track to move you in the right direction. See, worshiping is sort of this way that we love and express our love to God through the things that we do. We're expressing our love to God through the things that we do. And growing is knowing. It's knowing God. It's not about getting a bunch of information from the Bible. It's about knowing him in a personal relationship where he transforms our hearts and we become more like him. And so we're worshiping him, we're loving him and exalting him. That's worship. We're growing in his word. We're getting to know him more, so we're becoming like him. And we're serving, which means we're giving our lives away. We're thinking about others. We're serving God and man. And when we're doing this, and we're in this routine of, and I hate to call it a routine, but we're in this lifestyle. How about that? Lifestyle of worship, growing, and serving. We're becoming more and more like him. And look, it's moving us to a greater joy. Moving us to a greater joy. And so he says, I want to make it my own. And you will own this faith if you're worshiping, growing, and serving. Again, life can be hard. It can be hard. And things are constantly coming our way, aren't they? Another bill, another death, another dilemma, another battle that we're facing, another trial that we're going through. Look, it's always around the corner. I remember John McCain's mom. Now, keep in mind, John McCain died, I think, in his 80s. Okay, his mom was still alive when he died, 104 years old. And I remember she was interviewed one time, and they said, so tell us a little bit about some things and your friends. And she goes, well, I got to let you know, all of my friends have died, right? She has seen the death of every single one of her friends, most of her family members at age 104, okay? Look, trials are right around the corner. Now imagine this, being so secure in Christ and walking in such relationship with God that the trials don't affect you anymore. Or how about this? The trials don't affect you as hard as they did before. And you begin to loosen your grip on this world because this world is passing away, right? And you loosen your grip on this world, the world doesn't have to prop you up anymore. You're fully secure in Christ. Imagine that. This is where he's taking you. But he says you have to press on. And he says, just like Paul, you have to make it your own, and you have to press on. And some of you know these trials that we face in this world. So that the question is, how do we manage it? We live by faith, and we press on. And if you walk by sight, and you keep your eyes on all these problems, you are not going to live in joy. If your focus and your attention is all of these issues and you get your heart tangled up in the issues of the world, when you do that, you're not going to live in joy. But what Paul is saying is he's saying you're pressing on, you're staying committed to this faith, devoted to God, you're moving forward, you're pressing on, and he's teaching us how to live, not just by faith, but how to experience the joy of this faith in this life. You know, one of the things that I've noticed is parenting over the years has changed a little in America, okay? Parenting styles, ways of dealing with children. And some parents feel like that they have to just really just protect their kids against every discomfort, every difficulty, every problem that comes their way. And so what they want to do is just shield their child, and they think shielding them is the right approach. But look, shielding them is not the right approach. Can I get an amen in here? Okay, we have to realize that these are moments to teach them how to have faith and press on, how to have faith in God. These are God opportunities. These are faith-teaching opportunities for our children that we can just show them this thing that you're going through. It's okay to cry, and it's okay to go through this difficulty. But look, what we're going to do right now, little Johnny, is we're going to put our faith in God, and we're going to press on anyway. And so when they get older, they can press on. They're not in hiding. They're not running from all their problems as an adult, okay? And I've seen some adults that have been raised this way, and they just want to bury their heads in the sand when it comes to these difficulties that come our way. God wants to teach you out of that. How? By living in faith, putting your trust in Him. Amen? Okay, enough of the parent thing. Let's move on. Last week, we emphasized this. The Christian life is a spiritual walk. It's a genuine relationship, and it's an authentic faith. Okay? It's not some kind of churchy words. This is genuine, and it's real, and we own it, and we make it our own, what Paul says. It's not just some religious activity. This is a lifestyle. This is something we step into by faith, and we go, Lord, I put my faith in you. You are the king of my life. You own everything. What you say is true. Who you are and what you've called me to, the promises of God, I stand on those. I have genuine faith. I'm living this out. And this is what creates this spiritual backbone to give you the ability to persist and to press on. You'll never have that ability to persist and press on if you don't have an authentic faith, if it's just a religion built on, you know, symbols and church attendance. That's not what this is about. And so look what Paul says in verse 12. I make it my own. I make it my own. And so how this works and how he makes it his own and how you make it your own is you wake up every day with the right outlook, the right attitude, the right confidence in God, and the right kind of persistence. And it's all built on the foundation of Jesus. And you make this faith your own, and that's how you step out of bed every morning. And why does he do that? Why does Paul say, I make it my own? What's his motivation? Well, look what it says. It says, because Christ has made me his own. Because Christ has made me his own. I make it my own because Christ has made me his own. I belong to him. In fact, this world, it's really not my home. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm on a temporary mission here on earth. I have a purpose here. He's put me here for a reason, and I'm only here for a little while. I'm on this planet for him, for his glory. He has made me his own. And that's why he has me here. And so what this is this, it's this exalted view of God, and it's a powerful motivator that he has made us his own. And we keep him exalted. We keep him in his rightful place. We talk about this a lot, right? Always on our mind, always at the forefront of the things that we do. Why do you do the things that you do? What's your motivation? The motivation is to bring glory to his name. Why am I mowing the, Matt mows the grass up here, okay? He doesn't just mow the grass up here. He does a lot of stuff up here, he and Donna. They do all kinds of stuff. He always tells me, it's like gold, silver, and precious stones mowing the grass. Now I see him out there going, Scott has me on this mower. No, it's not true. That's not true. But he does it with the right heart attitude. And he does it because he wants to bless you and bless this church, and he wants to bring glory to God, okay? All that we do is aimed at bringing glory to his name. We are a reflection of him on earth. And so all of our activities, our attitude, our outlook, the things that we do when we step into a store, when we're driving down the road, we're a reflection of Jesus. And our motivation is to represent him well and represent who he is. Why? Because he's the exalted one in our lives. Revelation 4:11 says, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." We keep him exalted, reminding us, we remember these things about who God is and what he's done, and that Jesus has laid his life down for us. I make this my own because Christ has made me his own, is what Paul says. Look at verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. So what he's saying is, I don't consider it have already arrived, right? And apprehended this. I'm not perfect, but I'm aiming at it, right? He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. So he says, I don't consider it a fully grab this. My faith is still maturing. It's still growing. But I forget what's behind me. And this is the next point, point number two, in this joy is a persistence. We forget what is behind us. We have this thing that we've been doing on Wednesday nights. I've been doing this for about 4 years now, and it's called Living Free. It's sort of a seminar that we do on what it is to live free in Christ. And that's you first we're saved, right? Then we're healed. See, there's a lot of people in the church that are saved, but not a whole lot of them who have been healed from the effects of sin in their past. And so they have a hard time being free. So we talk about saved, healed, and free, getting to a place of freedom in Christ. And so the wounds of the past hinder the forward motion of their life, right? The wounds of their past affect how they handle their future, their present and their future. And so the idea there is to make peace with your past so you can move forward. And so what Paul says here is very similar to what we're teaching. As a matter of fact, I've used this verse before. We must forget what is behind us. I want you to remember this about Paul. He was shipwrecked. He was rejected, thrown into prison, rejected by man. Every time he went somewhere, the governing authorities were always against him. Lots and lots of people were against him. Can you imagine living like that? Everywhere you went, you were almost seen as the city enemy, right? And so So he had a lot. I mean, imagine some of the things that we would carry experiencing all the struggles and difficulties that Paul had to deal with. But he says this, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Persistence is going to require forgetting. It's going to require forgetting. And, you know, this Greek word for forgetting, it just means to keep out of your mind. It's going to require keeping some things out of your mind. I have a hard time doing this. This is one of my biggest struggles, okay? All those voices of my past screaming in my head all the time, trying to pull me back. And it's so hard to kind of get those things out of my mind sometimes and to forget about them. But look, this is the way forward. This is the way forward. This is a part of being persistent in the faith. Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to let my past and the things behind me stop me. I'm going to forget those things and move forward. Otherwise, those awful things and those disappointments and failures and all the difficulties and pain, they'll steal your joy. Yesterday's problems can steal today's joy and your future joy. God doesn't want that for you. He wants you to put your confidence in him and be persistent with this faith, trusting in him. And so he says, forgetting what lies behind, straining towards what lies ahead. I only have one more minute before the service is over today. But we're going to look at point number three. Joy is persistent, and we strain toward what's ahead. We strain toward what's ahead. That's what Paul says here. Remember, that's what faith is putting our confidence in God, believing in him, believing what he says about us and what he says about our future. That's what faith is. It's putting our confidence in the hope or the assurance of things hoped for, right? So by faith, we persist. We strain towards what's ahead. And you're determined to keep your thoughts and your faith moving forward. And Satan is determined to work against you. And the world is determined to work against you. Paul dealt with this all the time. He had those same kinds of struggles. But he says in verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Just powerful stuff. This is how you win. And this is how you get and keep joy. So what's the goal and what's the prize he's talking about here? The goal that we press towards and we strain towards is to be like Christ. And the prize that we're seeking, the prize that we look to grab hold of is to be close to him and to enjoy him forever. So we want to be close to him so that one day when we pass beyond this earth, the scriptures say that we'll be absent in the body, we'll be present with the Lord. And it's like Pete shared at the funeral yesterday. No more tears. No more darkness. And we'll be in his arms. That's our greatest prize. That's our greatest joy. So this world becomes less of a stress. When we loosen the grip off of this world, the hurts become less, the pain becomes less, and the joy increases. Doesn't that sound good? They shrink. All these problems start to shrink. And look at verse 15. I like this part. Let those of us who are mature think this way. Isn't that good? Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Let us hold true to it. Be true to it, what you have obtained. attained? What have you attained? It's this faith in Christ. It's the hope of glory. It's the peace that surpasses all understanding, right? And listen, your persistence is fueled by your faith, and your faith is fueled by your persistence. They work together. In closing, I'll share this little story with you. I was sitting at the dining room table at my house the other day, just minding my own business. And no, this is not about you, Melanie. She's like, he's about to tell another story about me. But I'm sitting at the table, minding my own business, and there's this fly, okay? Because this is the time of the flies. It's ridiculous. In Texas, they just start to come out of nowhere. I think they just kind of birth out of the dust, and they just start flying everywhere. So there's this fly, and he's buzzing in my face, but he's obsessed with my nose and landing on my eyebrow, right? And so he's landing on my nose, and I'm swatting, and then he comes to my eyebrow, and he lands on my eyelash, just, and then he flies, and he comes and lands on this eyelash, and I'm like, this thing is driving me crazy, but he was persistent, right? So I'm swatting, and I just go, let's just see what this guy's going to do, okay? I lay my hands down, and then he just rests on my eyelash, and I'm just sitting there like this. Like, okay, what's this guy going to do? Is he going to stay there forever? What's his plan? What's his goal? But he was persistent, okay? And life is going to swat at you. Satan's going to swat at you. Problems are going to swat at you. You could go home today and get you could check the mail, and maybe this bill that you weren't expecting is going to be there. All these things are going to come in and try to wreck your heart. But you have to be persistent in this faith, trusting that God is who he says he is. He'll do what he says he'll do. And look, his intentions are always good. And so what you're doing is you're believing in the goodness of God, that he's going to take care of you no matter what. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this faith. We thank you that you fill us with gladness, that you bring hope to the hopeless, that all is well when we are resting in you, that when we are close to you, our life is good. And even though the storms come and the difficulties come and all these things of this world threaten and push against us, Lord, we can have this inner gladness, this true joy, not built on circumstances, but built on this firm foundation of Jesus. Thank you for that, Lord. What a gift that is to us. We praise you for it today. In Christ's name, amen.